All right, thank you. Yeah, Catherine and I are so blessed that we have this amazing team, all these families supporting us in the work that God has called Catherine and I to do. So we're just really appreciative of all the people that are helping out in the leadership on the stage and in the back areas, the people that we see, the people that we don't see. So it's something that we can't do together. It's actually confirmation of the word that God has given me tonight, that we do have such a good team, that we work together. What I wanted to talk about was one particular parable about the vine. And Jesus used a lot of parables. In fact, nearly everything that Jesus spoke was in parables. And he was explaining to us what we couldn't see. He was explaining to us the kingdom of God. And he was saying the kingdom of God is like. And that's how most of his parables started. So he wanted to use the parables to explain something that we couldn't possibly understand, because our hearts have been blinded by sin. So I'll just start with Matthew chapter 13 and verse 10 to 13. So I guess the disciples were wondering, why are you speaking in parables? And in verse 10 it says, "And the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And I like the King James Version, because that's what I grew up with, so that's the one I seem to understand the best. So you just have to excuse the old English. Verse 11. "He answered unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and they hear, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand." So it was he was speaking mysteries in the parables, and what it's saying to me is that the people that do understand and do see, the more they listen to the word of God, the more they listen to these parables, the more they will see and understand. And the people that are blind to the kingdom of God, the more they hear the parables, the less they will see, the less they will understand. It will make less sense to them. So I'm sure we all want to be in the first lot. So just continuing a little bit further down in that chapter 13 of Matthew, in verse 34. It says, "All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world." So these are things that God created from the beginning of time. And they're secrets that are locked up in the creation. The only thing is they're plain for everyone to see, but not everybody can understand them, which it says there. And God was uttering the secrets that he had put there for us to find. So I'll just move over to Ephesians chapter 3. I'll just study this a little bit more. So Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from which the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." So that's that sounds pretty amazing to me, that in these mysteries, the things that God has put there from from the very start of time. They're things that we can understand. So it's the wisdom of God that's in there, and it's just waiting for us to find it. So we can find out about any mystery that God has placed in this universe, from the ground right up to the heavenly places. So anything spiritual, anything physical. So that includes the kingdom of God, the wisdom of God, everything that he created. And it all comes back to Jesus, because Jesus was there in the beginning when it was all created. And it was all created, or it actually says there, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So everything, the kingdom, the wisdom, the creation, they're all linked up in Jesus Christ. So when he speaks in parables, there's something there. There's some power. There's some amazing revelation that can be had. So how can we actually understand what we can't see, even though God has put it in plain view? So he's put everything in creation in plain view for us, but there's mysteries hidden in there.
Yeah. Amen.
So it's obvious that we're seeing at the moment, but we don't actually see. So the scripture that comes to mind for me is Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish.
Yeah.
So people are dying at this very moment. They're dying, withering, passing away. They don't understand what they see. They don't understand what they see around them in the world. So my understanding of vision is that if you can't imagine it, then you can't understand it, and then you can't do it. So if God gives us these parables and gives us the ability to see what he's put there from the beginning of time, so that we can aim for what we can see. So we can't actually aim for a higher life or a better life or anything if we can't actually imagine it or we can't see it. But it's all there in the world around us. And God's kingdom is completely opposite to the way the world works.
Yep.
So we have to make sure that we do discover what these parables are and what they mean.
Amen.
So the particular parable that I've chosen tonight is the parable of the vine, and that's found in John chapter 15. So if you'll just turn to that one. So I'm reading from verse 4 to verse 8. So you might notice that I use a lot of scripture. I like doing that because then nobody can argue with what I'm saying. So you can go and argue with God if you don't agree what it's saying here in front of you in plain English, or almost plain English anyway. So verse 4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples.
Glory to God.
So, the revelation's pretty clear there, that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And it's using such a simple illustration, such a simple parable, but how much is in there in plain view that we just don't see? What are the mysteries that God has hidden in the example of the vine and the branches and the fruit? I feel this particular parable is of great relevance to us at the moment. In the current world, there's never been so much knowledge. There's never been so much information available to people at the touch of a button. But in this world, true wisdom and understanding is very hard to find. There's plenty of knowledge, but not much understanding and wisdom. Amen. And we need to know how to live in the kingdom of God and how to access that wisdom, all that wisdom that's been placed out right in front of our eyes in the simple things around us, such as the vine. Otherwise, we just stumble around because we don't see, we don't have the vision, and that will cause us to perish. So the natural properties of the vine display how the kingdom of God operates. So we can learn a lot of lessons from the things in creation. Well, one thing that the vine speaks to me is that the goal of the vine, if you want to call it the kingdom of God, the goal of the vine is not just to spread out in all directions. So that's a trap that I think all of us stumble into from time to time. We get this idea and then we start branching out that way. So it's not just about growth, it's not just about filling up space or doing something a little bit differently. So it seems like sometimes our aim is to grow our branches as far as we can and as big as we can. So what is the point of the kingdom of God? What is the point of being in the kingdom of God? And what's the point of being attached to the vine if it's not just to grow? Amen. If we go back to verse 8, says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." So how do we bear that fruit? What is that fruit? How do we bear it? Just go a little bit further back. It says, if we abide in the vine, we bear the fruit. So it's just a matter of staying connected to the vine. So staying connected to Jesus. There's no struggle in that. Catherine's been talking about abiding in the vine or abiding in Christ, and it seems like it's the message for today. Just couldn't seem to get away from this particular thought. So it's just an automatic thing. Bearing fruit is just automatic. It just happens because we're attached. So if we're attached, we'll bear fruit. If we're not attached, we won't bear fruit. It's that simple. The good thing is that the vine gives the life and the power to bear the fruit. So it's not our strength, it's the strength of God. It's the life of God flowing through us. And just as a natural branch can be detached, so we can be detached from God. We can disconnect ourselves from God. And just in the natural, as soon as we disconnect or detach, we begin to wither and die, because we don't have the life flowing in us anymore. So it's a gradual thing. You don't just chop off a branch or cut off a branch and it dies and withers and disappears instantly. It's a gradual thing. It still looks like it has life for a long time after it gets detached. But the thing is, it'll never bear any fruit once it's detached. And it'll either bear the wrong fruit or no fruit. So if you're not attached to the right vine, you won't be bearing the right fruit. So what are some of the signs to avoid? How do we know that we've been detached from Jesus and the life of God? We'll just turn to Luke chapter 6. Verse 42-44. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, "Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye," when thou thyself beholdest that not the beam that is in thine own eye? thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to put out the mote in thy brother's eye. And this is the one that speaks to me, verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. So what are the signs that we've been detached, that we're not bearing the right fruit? It says that men can't gather figs from a thorn bush, or they can't gather grapes, so they can't gather the fruit from a bramble bush. So if you feel yourself getting a bit prickly, it might be a sign that you're detaching yourself from the life of God. Also in Luke chapter 8, just a few pages over, verse 13. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and those have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And verse 14, and that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. So it is clear, if we're in the wrong environment, or we're attached to the wrong thing, or the wrong influences are around us, then we will be withering and not bearing fruit. So does that mean that it's easy to stay attached to the vine? Or does it mean that everything is easy if we stay attached to the vine? I don't think that's the case at all. Just like in the natural, there will be trials. But they won't necessarily mean that you're withering or dying. God brings trials and other things to perfect the fruit and actually increase the harvest of the fruit. And sometimes there is accidental damage. But God has it all under control. So if we turn to John chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So purging or clearing away the unfruitful parts is good for us. We are clean if we stay on the vine and get nourished through the word which is in Jesus. So the life of the Spirit is flowing through us all day and at every moment. So that in John chapter 15, verse 2 and 3, they just speak to me that if a branch is bearing fruit, then God wants to make sure that it bears more fruit. And the only way he can do that is by cleaning us up through the word. So if we study the word and allow God to work through it, then that's all we need to bear fruit. Just following on from that, Hebrews 12, verse 11. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So what is this peaceable fruit of righteousness? Well, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. So in Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So that's the fruit that God's looking for us in our, or through our lives. So how do we manifest this fruit? So we're part of the vine, we're the branches, and on occasion, branches fall off for different reasons, often because they break themselves off, I think. So when some of these branches do fall off, other branches get hurt along the way. So what you do is if you're in the way of a falling branch, somebody that's getting disconnected from God, the only thing you can do is make sure you don't fall off. Make sure you stay connected. And if your fruit does get damaged with that falling branch, the best thing to do is to bleed a bit of love. So this is what we get when we abide in the vine. The other benefit or the other thing that God is looking for us is that our fruit actually makes a difference in the world. So there's a lot of people in the world that are wanting to sink their teeth into our fruit. And what should our response be to that when they're trying to damage our fruit? So the enemy's out there, and he's trying to damage our fruit and break us off the vine. So if he comes against us with anger and hate, we show love. If he comes against us in depression, we show joy. If he comes against us with strife or division or gossip, we show peace. If he comes against us with agitation and impatience, we show long-suffering. So we can just keep going down that list. If there's confusion and doubt, we need to show faith. So that's what the world is looking for. There's a world of dying and hungry people out there that are just needing the fruit that our life and the vine supplies through us. So if we don't attach ourselves and remain attached to the vine, then there will be no fruit. There won't be anything that we have to offer the world. So they're dying of hunger. We want to make sure that we remain attached to the vine and provide the fruit that they need to bring life to them. So that's the message for the moment. Is there anybody here that feels that they're not attached to the vine, that they don't have this life that God can provide? Anybody that wants to give their heart to God and say, yes, I want to live that life where I draw on the power of God to provide the everything that I need in my life. Is there anybody here tonight that wants to get to know God?